This is the message from Connection Community Church for Sunday, October 6th, 2024. Word Power.
Good morning, Connection Church.
Good morning.
Here in the sanctuary, there at home. Isn't this just a glorious day to be part of God's creation? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm loving today.
Tell them why you're really loving today.
Because we're in worship with all these beautiful people.
That is true. And what's the next thing?
Just say it, Alan.
Well, we have an opportunity to make amends for yesterday.
Alan and I are going to be in Philadelphia tonight, so look for us on the TV as the Phillies win, we pray. And I actually had a Phillies shirt on a minute ago, and then Dan Logan said, well, what if you don't like the Phillies? You're like, you're cutting out half the church. And I said, okay, Dan, I put my regular shirt on just for you.
I'll do a poll for you, Dan.
He's out in the lobby.
How many here? Hey, Dan, check out. Listen up. How many here are Yankee fans?
Oh, three. Okay.
We got three people, Dan. We'll pray for them. How many here are Philadelphia Philly fans? Yankees and others, I'm sorry.
Don't hold it against us, though.
But I'll just say this the one time. I'll just say it once. Philadelphia is in Scripture in the book of Revelation. And if it was football season, Eagles are in the book of Isaiah. I'm just saying, let's keep moving here. I'm sorry.
Let's keep moving.
What a glorious day to be part of the creation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I'm glad we can have some fun. Always have some fun. So this morning we're starting a new series called It's a new series called One-Offs. One-offs are those messages that can stand alone, not dependent on the week before, the week after. You know, they're all by themselves. Each week for the next 4 weeks, our messages are going to be just that, one-offs. So this morning our one-off is entitled Word Power. Say Word Power.
Word Power.
Who? Yes.
Yeah. Well, good morning, Connection Church. My name is Carrie Jones.
I'm Alan Jones.
And we are two sinners who have been saved by the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thanks so much for being here. It's an encouragement to be together today. Hey, everybody online, it's wonderful to know that you're out there, and I pray that you'll be blessed today as well by joining us online. I want to give you a little heads up. It's Communion Sunday, so if you want to grab some crackers and juice ahead of time, that would be great. All right, let's pray. Almighty God, thank you so much for this day. It's a day that you've made, a day that we get to rejoice and be glad in it. God, I ask for you to use these words that you've given us to share through your scripture and through some Holy Spirit leading about the power of words. Remove any distractions around us so that we might really give you our attention this morning. We thank you and praise you today and always. Everybody agreed and said, amen.
Amen. Amen. First this, God created the heavens and earth. All you see, all you don't see. Earth was a soup of nothingness, an inky blackness, a bottomless emptiness, an inky blackness. God's spirit brooded like a bird above the watery abyss. God spoke, light, and light appeared. God saw the light was good. He separated light from dark. God named the light day, and he named the dark night. It was evening, it was morning, day one.
Word power. Words have power. A single word has power. Did you hear the scripture? God spoke light, and there was light. In just a single word, light appeared. When the God of the cosmos speaks, it is so. And it doesn't end there. Throughout all of Scripture and throughout the creation story, we see that God spoke and the power of God's word brought everything into existence, all that is seen and all that is unseen. Genesis 1, verse 31. God looked over everything he had made. It was so good, so very good. It was evening, it was morning, day six.
Right there at the beginning. In fact, before the beginning, words had power, extreme power. The power to do good, power to create, the power to bring into existence. Genesis 1. And then two chapters later, Genesis 3, the words of a serpent had the power to turn what was good into not so good. In fact, he had the power to bring evil into the world. Check out what Solomon shares with us in the 18th chapter of the book of Proverbs, verse 21. Words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
Words give life, but they also kill. Words poison. Words destroy. Words provoke. We choose. And so we can turn to a scripture in James. James was the brother of Jesus, and he was also the leader of the Jerusalem Council. And he spoke about the power of words, James 3. A bit in the mouth of a horse controls the whole horse. A small rudder on a huge ship in the hands of a skilled captain sets a course in the face of the strongest winds. A word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish almost anything, nearly anything, or destroy it. It only takes a spark, remember, to set off a forest fire. A careless or wrongly placed word out of your mouth can do that. By our speech, we can ruin the world, turn harmony to chaos, throw mud on a reputation, send the whole world up in smoke, and go up in smoke with it. Smoke right from the pit of hell. That's the message paraphrase of James 3.
So we're able to set off a fire with just a spark, even if it's unintentional, which it often is with forest fire. Like there have been times with us when we've been with friends, just talking, and I'll say something that I thought was particularly clever, rather humorous, and everybody laughs. Everybody except Carrie. Yeah. Because they may have thought it was clever and humorous, but she found it hurtful and dishonoring. Yeah. My humor at her expense. And usually she doesn't say anything at the moment, but when we're in the car, maybe later at home, she lets me know that what I said made her feel dishonored. That's not good. That's the last thing in the world I want to do. Dishonor is that's like our worst thing for each other, to dishonor each other, and that's the last thing I'd want to do. And so, of course, I apologize to her, and often I'll go back and apologize in front of the people that I dishonored her in front of, because that's just the right thing to do. But here's the thing. Even though I apologize, even though Carrie says, forgives me, once you said whatever we've said, we can never, ever, ever take it back. Ever. It's like we've talked before, that toothpaste, when you squeeze it out of the tube, it's not going back in no matter how hard we try, is it? It's not happening. There's no putting it back in. Words poison. Words can destroy.
Ephesians 6. Children, do what your parents tell you. It is only right. Honor your father and mother is the first commandment that has a promise attached to it, namely, so you will live well and have a long life. Fathers, Don't frustrate your children with no-win scenarios. Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master.
Hmm. You know, it's not just the words we say to our spouse, or even the words we say to other adults that matter. Parents, we have a great responsibility to our children. See that? Take them by the hand and lead them in the way of the Master, in the way of Jesus. That's our responsibility as parents. We need to lead by example. If our tone is sharp and critical, don't be surprised to hear that mimicked when your kids are sharp and critical with each other there in the next room. Instead of yelling at them, you got to look in the mirror and say, wow, it's this guy. If we use bad language at home or in the car or wherever, we may just get a call from school when the kids think it's cool to echo what they've heard at home out there on the playground or wherever. Our words have power. Our words have power. Now, our children are what's known not just as PKs, they are double PKs. PK means parent, our pastor kid. You know those pastor kids. You've met a few, right? Well, these are doubles. Double trouble.
And actually, they've lived in a fishbowl all their lives. People watch and have watched and continue to watch them, and they're pretty aware of it.
And they get judged at a different level.
Yeah.
Early on, we learned that when we use them, and they get used in messages, as you've seen on occasion, that we always clear that with them before we do that. Because those stories are theirs to tell, not ours. So we get permission for them to let us tell them.
I remember Turner was probably 6 or something like that. I wrote a weekly newsletter back in my other church, and a lot of it was parenting stuff, and somebody commented to Turner, our son, something that I had written the week before. And he, as a 6-year-old kid, came to me and said, "Mom, can you stop writing about me? I felt really like lousy that day." But it's important to
honor them.
To honor them.
Yeah. And so we get to run. And then there's an occasion where we kind of, I know this is so infrequently, but we go off the page.
just like a minute ago.
And when that happens, sometimes you say things, this works before this does. Do you know what I'm saying? And so we have to apologize. Because we may include that, and we didn't mean to, and we didn't get it okay ahead of time. Because that's not good, because, you know, our kids have feelings too. They have feelings too. And their feelings matter. You know, as you noticed last week, when Fran gave her message, she included some sharing about her son Josh. But did you notice, before she ever shared, what she shared was that she had cleared that with Josh, and Josh was okay with Fran sharing a piece of Josh's story, because that's how we should do it. That's honoring to the children. It's what we should do with anyone if we're going to use, you know, we need to honor each other.
Fathers and mothers, don't frustrate your children putting them in no-win situations. That's how Eugene Peterson put it in the message. So I know I've done that at times, and I really regret it. If we're not careful, we can close the spirits of those who we love. So we had this thing in our house where it was like, "Mom, you've
We used closed. It in a message a few years ago, and Turner picked up on it, and boy, did he use
you
it.
You close my spirit. So everybody, put your hand out. All right, now think about words that you've said or words that you've heard that just kind of close a spirit, and go ahead and take. That doesn't feel good, does it? No. We don't want to close each other's spirits, and words can do that. And so words can dishonor, words can belittle, words can frustrate, words can embarrass. And we don't want to do that to our kids, to our friends, to our spouses, to our loved ones, anybody. We never want to do that because we don't want to tear somebody down. Our words are so important. The words that you say are important. And also the tone that we have in the words that we use. I can say something perfectly okay, but he hears it with a different tone and they...
No, I hear the tone that it was issued with.
Yeah, well, I didn't really say it that way, but he heard it that way. Words poison, tones don't help, words provoke.
See, no matter how we think we said it, if it was heard differently, that's what was heard, right? That's the challenge. And you know, when this happens, that can happen pretty quick. It takes a whole lot longer for that to happen, doesn't it?
Yeah.
A whole lot longer. Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any, it's interesting, any, not some, do not let occasional, do not let any, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only, wow, only, those are very serious words there. Not any, only what is helpful for the building, for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. This is quite a mandate Paul gave that church at Ephesus, the people in that church, didn't it? And he's given it to us too, though. Christian speaker Lisa Turkhurst, however you pronounce her last name, she says that she once wrote this. It says, sometimes it's the words we choose not to say. Sometimes it's the words we choose not to say that speak most loudly about our character, about who we are, when nobody's watching. The words we choose not to say speaks loudly.
A long time ago, we did a message on words, and one of the things are they necessary? Sometimes our words just really are not necessary. And by keeping quiet, that says a lot about who we are, that we have discipline, that we have restraint. And so, you know, words have the power to encourage. Words have the power to bring life, to give life. And Paul shares that in his letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Say the rest with me. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing.
Wow. So the day of the Lord is coming. We don't know when. Whatever the time and day, know this, we are children of the light, not of the darkness. We're to encourage one another. We are to build each other up. Build each other up, not tear each other down. Yeah. We're to encourage one another, not discourage one another. Let me ask you this. Do you know someone who is an encourager? Yeah. Don't you just love to be around that person? You know, it's kind of like second nature for them to kind of spur you on, to give you a word or two that just lifts you up. Are you an encourager? That's what we're all called to be, isn't it? Encouragers. Yeah. Find that spark that will lift those around you. Offering that word or two, or maybe three, or maybe four, whatever it takes. That helps the person know that you see them, You know, in Genesis 1, where we read, you were made, God made you in His image. And we can help remind those around us, they're made in God's image. What does that mean? There's a lot of speculation, but I know one thing. A big part of the image of God is love. Forgiveness. Understand. A lot of positive words. You pick a positive word, it's probably in there. And as an encourager, you remind that other person that they're created. Not with saying, you know, you were created in the image of God. You don't have to put it like that. But you do it by how you make them feel. Yeah. Yeah. You've been around an encourager, and you know how that makes you feel. What if you made it a point to be that encourager yourself? Just think of the difference it could make.
I can tell you it makes a big difference in my life. A few of you in this room are encouragers to me. You know, Venetia, I see you back there, and you know that every once in a while, God prompts you, and you send me a note just on a day when I'm a little depleted, and I've said, oh my gosh, and I say you're my cheerleader. Thank you. Not just Venetia, but a number of you are. You don't know what difference it makes. Somebody could be having a really bad day, and they might have a smile on their face, and just your words could change and give them a different perspective to go about their day. It is so important, and you think, oh no, that's not how I'm wired. That's not my personality. Well, work on it. Seriously. We all can do this. It's really not negotiable.
Rewire.
This is how God wants us to be. Be an encourager. Hebrew.
Get rewired.
That was off script, too.
Get rewired. That's so unusual.
I know. Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up on meeting together. That's why it's so important for us to be together today. Don't give up. We need each other. It's an encouragement. Do not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Mm. I have something else to say. So, Debbie, you're sitting there smiling because you see all of our mess ups. And you handle that with such grace. You never like say, oh, you messed up on this. You say, just a gentle reminder that you might want to think about this. In such a grace-filled and loving way. But that's an encouragement. And you know what? We can all do that. We can be those people. And so I just encourage you to be one of those people. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, Deb.
It's like I send her the message every Monday. She sends it out to people. So either Monday or Tuesday, almost weekly, I get a note. I may have missed this, Alan, but did you send me the message? She knows I didn't. I know I didn't.
By the way, the reason why the message goes to Deb is because there are some people who are incarcerated, and they receive a message every single Sunday. So these messages go far and wide. Mm.
The other thing is you talked about getting together.
Yeah.
Not just here. Small group. That's why small group is so important. Because small group is where you can really be an encourager for other people, like one-on-one, you know. That's the ideal place to be an encourager, to lift others up. And you can see, especially when they're needing to be lifted up. Yeah. Word power. Can you imagine, am I at the right place here? That's off page here.
Page 7, top of.
I've jumped to page 8. I was trying to move ahead here. Unlike this message, being an encourager is not a one-off. It's not a one and done. It takes an investment in time and energy And the thing is, we need to be on the lookout for those opportunities where encouragement makes sense, where it's appropriate, where it fits. Our words of encouragement can't be shallow. They can't be disingenuous. They can't be offered merely to be offered. We need to be sincere, and sometimes that may be challenging, especially if we're dealing with a difficult person. We used to use a term around here. We'd say, call a person who was difficult an EGR, extra grace required. You all probably could name one or two. If you can't, I've got bad news for you. I'm just saying. You know, we all have contact with difficult people, don't we? And at times we may be the difficult person. We try not to be, right? But when we're difficult people, we need to be patient. We need to wait for the right moment. Timing is everything, as they say. And you look for that opportunity to lift them up. And you know, if we do that, it could change their mood. It could change their countenance. It could change their heart. There are times where just that word could possibly even change their life. You think, yeah, words are that powerful. Words are that powerful. And so we need to seek God's help, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, God's help to lead you, to lead me, to be that encourager, who encourager that you hope to be, the encourager you'd like to be, the current encourager that you are called to be. Seek God's help.
Word power. When Jesus was arrested and he was brought to the Sanhedrin, which is the Supreme Court, the disciple Peter, who was one of his closest friends, he was in the courtyard. Some of us know Peter's story. He denied knowing Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times. And Jesus told Peter that this would happen. And Peter said, oh, no, it won't happen. But it did.
Yes.
Luke 22. About an hour later, another asserted, certainly this fellow, that's Peter, was with him, Jesus, for he is a Galilean. Peter replied, man, I don't know what you're talking about. Just as he was speaking, the rooster crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. Before the rooster crows today, you will disown me three times. And Peter went outside and wept bitterly.
Word power. Word power. Can you imagine being Jesus and hearing Peter's words? This guy had been traveling with for 3 years. They've been doing life together. Jesus had been mentoring him. He'd been guiding him. He'd been leading, praying for him, praying with him. 3 years of that. And then he hears these words. These words can injure, can't they? Words can wound. Words that can destroy. But here's the thing. Jesus may have heard those words, but he didn't carry those words with him, especially to the cross. In fact, after the resurrection, Jesus brought a whole different set of words for his encounter with Peter there on the beach we read about in John 21. He didn't bring bitter words, angry words. He brought words of encouragement. He encouraged Peter, who was out there fishing. He'd been fishing all night, didn't have anything to show for it. Jesus encouraged him, told him where to fish, so much so that he pulled in a net full, so full of fish it was breaking. That's the kind of encouragement Jesus offered him. He brought words of encouragement, asking Peter three times, do you love me, Peter? And three times, Peter had the opportunity to say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. He offered words of encouragement as he responded to Peter's response, yes, Lord, you know I love you, and then calling Peter to feed his sheep, feed my sheep.
Jesus spoke words of love, words that are patient and kind, words that do not envy, that are not boastful, that are not proud, they are not rude, they are not self-seeking, they aren't easily angered, words that keep no record of wrongs, words that don't delight in evil, but rejoice with truth, words that always protect, always trust, always hope, words that persevere, that help one another persevere, words that bring life, not death, words that encourage, don't discourage, words that honor, don't dishonor, words that lift up, that don't put down. Those are the kinds of words that our mentor, Jesus, our model, Jesus, used. He chose his words carefully. Our challenge to all of us here today and those listening is that we too should choose our words carefully. Choose our words carefully because they really echo what's in our heart. It's important. And also to remember that God has extended his loving kindness, his grace that's unmerited, that we can't earn or get, but it's just there for us. God extends his grace to us, and that's love. He speaks truth into our lives. He speaks words of love. And so when we love Jesus and claim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We experience grace. And so grace in our lives chooses words well. That's our challenge, and that's also what Christ wants from us. Let's do it. Let's believe it. Let's live it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Almighty God, thank you for the way that you speak life and not condemnation into us, how you give us a hope and a future. And Lord, when there are times when by your Holy Spirit we are gently nudged to see something a different way, when you kind of pull us in because we're straying, you do that gently and you do that kindly. Thank you. Thank you for your grace that is so abundant. Thank you for this time where we can be together in Holy Communion. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to the message from Connection Community Church. For more information and to find out more about our ministries, you can visit us on our website at justshowup.church. You can also call our church offices at 302-378-7692. Thanks again for listening. Connection Community Church, connecting people to Jesus and the new life he offers.